So, yes, so I'm also a little bit unsure about what I should teach. So on the brute side, I know what I want to do. I want to get to that result, okay? And I'll do whatever it takes to get there. On the gentle side, my original thought was to do finite type invariants of virtual knots as soon as the introductory material is done, and it is done. Because that was how the brute part arose, okay? But the more I think about it, the more I can justify and explain everything in the brute part without having to go back to finite type invariants of virtual knots. So in some sense, it's unnecessary knowledge. It's only how things arose, okay? On the other hand, you know, the purpose of the class is also to give you general background on knot theory and general background in mathematics, and that's lovely background. So I decided to do it anyway and talk about finite type invariants of virtual knots. And you should view it as sort of general education and also the history, but it's not clear that it's absolutely necessary. It could be skipped if the purpose is to get polynomial time, not polynomials. I didn't think that way half a year ago, but things are changing. So now I'm going to give you an introduction to finite type invariants, which could have easily been given essentially 20 years ago. I mean, not language has changed, but that's all. So maybe even before that, some linear algebra. Sorry, it's going to start very, very abstract and then gradually become not theoretic and combinatorial. So, you know, there are two categories that I want to remind you of or mention. And this is the category of filtered vector spaces and the category of graded vector spaces. So the category of filtered vector spaces has objects, filtered vector spaces. So a filtered vector space is a vector space V, often infinite dimensional, along with a descending filtration on this vector space. A descending filtration is a sequence of subspaces called F0V, so the zeroth filtration of V, which is actually equal to V itself. And sometimes, when no ambiguity arises, I will also call it simply V0. Okay? And this should contain F1 of V, so this is the first filtration subspace of V, which again, when no, which should contain F2 of V, and which so on up to, not up to, I mean, 2 FnV, which should contain, basically it goes on to infinity. And again, when there is no ambiguity, I will simply call Fn of V, Vn, okay? And then morphisms are maps respecting the filtration. So a morphism from V to W will be a map from V to W such that, I don't know, what should we call it, F, I don't know, such that F maps the nth filtration thing of V into the nth, so the restriction of F to the nth filtration part of V will map that part to the infiltration subspace of W. Okay? Easy enough. Graded vector spaces are, again, vector space Z, but that are presented as infinite direct sums, so as the direct sum as n goes from 0 to infinity of subspaces, which I will sometimes call Gn of V, and when there is no ambiguity, I will call it simply V sub n, and often there will be ambiguity because I'm talking both about filtered objects and graded objects, so this, I'm using the same notation. So often there will be ambiguity, and then I will have to be careful. Okay? And maybe I'll only comment that typically I'm talking about really completed graded vector spaces. So I will, so this will be really the completed direct sum, and this also will be the completed direct sum, which just means that I allow infinite sums provided, well, not provided, I mean just take one element from each degree. So basically direct sums mean sequences, and typically direct sum means only finite sequences or sequences that are zero beyond a certain point, but I will allow infinite sequences. So by the way, I don't know, I somehow got used to the notation direct sum, but I think people also write it as the direct product of Vn. Okay? And then morphisms are simply degree-preserving, so morphisms are simply degree-preserving maps from V to W, which just means, which just amounts to say that these are maps from V to W that are induced from maps from GnV to GnW. So basically these are maps that are induced, or these are given by sequences of maps going from GnV to GnW. Okay. And then there is two functors, one functor going from filtered to graded, and it's called GER, and there is a functor going from graded to filtered, and it's called FIL. Okay? So, what are these two functors? So, GER of a filtered vector space is the infinite direct sum of the consecutive quotients of the filtered subspaces. So it's the infinite direct sum of FnV modulo Fn plus 1 of V, and this is taken to be the degree n piece of GerV. And it's easy to check, well, I've defined it on object, but it's easy to check that it makes sense on morphisms in only one reasonable way. Okay? And similarly, fill of V, so if I want to filter a vector space which is already graded, then I take the sum of all pieces of degree greater than something. Okay? So, fill V, if you want to know what is the degree n piece of it, then it's the infinite direct sum as k is greater than or equal to n of the degree k piece of V.
Okay? And a few things are easy to check, like, okay, so if you compute GER of fill of V, then it's canonically isomorphic. So what's GER of fill V? So you look at the sum from N modulo the sum from N plus 1. And all you're left with is the nth piece. So GER of fill V is canonically isomorphic to V. However, it is not true that fill of GER V, wait, is it not true? I think it's actually not true that fill of GER V is isomorphic to it is, they are isomorphic, but not canonically. And also, so slightly informally, GER of GER of anything is itself. So if you take GER of GER, so if you take a vector space, sorry, a filtered space, you take its GER, you regard it again as a filtered thing, so really I should have put here a fill in the middle, and then you take the GER of that, the result is itself. This really follows from that. Okay? So, yeah. So that's general category theory background. And now, definition. So, definition. So, an expansion, is a map, let me say in what category, in the category of filtered vector spaces, so it's a filtered map, V going to GER V. So V is, sorry, I should have said given, I should have started, given a filtered V, an expansion is a map Z going from V to GER V. And remember, and I think of GER V as a filtered thing by implicitly applying the filtered, the fill tensor to it, the fill functor to it. So these two are filtered, and an expansion is map, is a filtered map from one to the other, such that, I mean, so far, you know, I could have taken the zero map, okay? But that's not what I want. So I want the following condition. So apply the functor GER to this Z. Okay? And you will get GER Z going from GER of V to GER of GER V. Okay? And GER of GER V is GER V again. So this is a map from GER V to itself, and what I want it to be is that this would be the identity map. Totally abstract, so annoyingly abstract, okay? What does it mean in practice? Okay? In practice, it means that you have a map Z from V into what's GER V? So GER V is a list, is a space of sequences. So it's sort of a long, it's a space of sequences of elements of increasing degrees, with the condition that if gamma is an element of the nth filtration of V. So if gamma belongs to Fn V, well, then you can consider the equivalence class of gamma modulo Fn plus 1 V, and that's an element of, right? So if it's in, so it's an element of Fn V modulo Fn plus 1 V, so it's an element of what I would have called the nth degree part of Gr V. So it's an element of Gn of V. And then the conditions that I want is that Z of this gamma would be the collection, the least 0, 0, 0, 0 up to degree n. In degree n, you should see the equivalence of class of gamma, and beyond that, you get a list of zeros. Things that I don't care about. It doesn't matter. So basically, an expansion takes a filtered degree n thing, sorry, a thing from the n filtration to something, to something graded, which starts with a lot of zeros and whose first non-trivial thing is entry is the gamma itself regarded modulo the higher things. Wow. I think I should give you two examples. I should give you more than two examples, but let me start with one. So example, take R, so R is a ring, to be C infinity of Rn. So C infinity functions on Rn. Take I, so I is an ideal inside R, and it's the ideal of functions f such that f vanishes at zero. Okay? And then, whenever you have an ideal in a ring, I mean, I've taken a specific example, but whenever you have an ideal in a ring, you get a filtration. And the filtration is by powers of this ideal. So the ideal, the ring itself, you can consider it as I to the zero. It contains I to the one, which is the ideal itself, which contains I times I, or I squared, which contains I cubed, which contains I to the fourth, and so on. Okay? In our case, I to the n means, so if you take a smooth function which vanishes at zero, then I to the n means functions that vanishes n times at zero. Okay? So this is the functions that vanish n times at zero. Okay? And then in this particular case, what is I n modulo I to the n plus 1? So I n modulo, so right, so the powers of the ideal play the role of the filtration. So this will be a piece in the associated gradient. Okay? So these are functions that vanish n times, but I don't care about functions that vanish n plus 1 times. So this is canonically isomorphic, so this is isomorphic to homogeneous polynomials of degree n on Rn. So this is homogeneous polys of degree n. Indeed, every polynomial of degree n vanishes n times. Sorry, so homogeneous. So I all monomials have exactly n terms in them. So every such polynomial vanishes n times. And up to polynomials of lower degree, you can approximate, of higher degree, you can approximate any functions that vanishes n times by polynomials of degree n. Okay? So therefore, Ger of R, in our case, is, well, these are lists of homogeneous polynomials, so these are just power series. Power series. Okay? Now, a map Z going from R to Ger of R will be a map which maps a C infinity function into a power series. Okay? And you can think of one such map, and it's the Taylor expansion. Okay? So, or more precisely, the Taylor expansion is one such map. And it's easy to check that the Taylor expansion takes satisfies this property. Well, sort of almost tautological. So expansions are somehow generalizations of Taylor expansions. Now you can ask, is there only one such map which satisfies this property? And the answer is no. So there are lots of other expansions from, in this case, from R to Ger R beyond the Taylor expansion. However, I'm going to make another definition, and then it will become more or less unique. Sorry, maybe I'm spending too much time on it. Am I wasting your time? I don't think so, but well, okay.
No, I mean that example sort of cleared it up for me.
Yeah. Okay, so that was all kind of the raw definition. But I can make it a little bit more refined. So if instead of talking about vector spaces, you can talk about algebraic structures. So V may have a structure, rather than just being a vector space. You could be talking about V, which is, for example, a ring, like in the example that I took over there, so that I made, that I wrote over there. So it could have some function which takes two elements of V and produces back an element of V. Okay? So this is a notation for a ring operation, okay, or a product. Or maybe it could have several such functions, so maybe there would be another one. Maybe that one would be unary, okay? It could have a trinary operations, it could have, you know, all sorts of structure on it. In fact, it could even have a coproduct. So you could be talking about maps from V into V tensor V, okay, going the other way, okay? Both categories, to use fancy language, are monoidal, which means that it makes sense to take tensor products. So whether you're talking about a binary operation which goes this way or a cooperation which goes that way, it makes sense to talk about operations that preserves the filtration. So just to be clear, how are filtrations defined? So if you want to filter the degree n piece filtration of V tensor V, will be the sum of all FK tensor, sorry, FKV tensor FL V, where K plus L is greater than or equal to N. And if you want to know how to grade a tensor product, it would be, so the degree N piece in V tensor V will be the direct sum of all K plus L is equal to N, degree K piece of V, direct sum, degree K piece of, oh, you know, I don't know why I've used as twice V. I mean, for this purpose, it's twice V, but it makes sense for, so the tensor product of any two great filtered vector spaces is filtered, and the tensor product of any two graded vector spaces is graded. Sorry. So therefore, it makes sense to talk about algebra maps or co-algebra map that respect the filtration or the gradation, okay? Meaning that are morphisms in the category of filtered vector spaces or graded vector spaces, where you put this structure on the tensor product, okay? And then you can check that GER will map an algebraic structure in the filtered universe to an algebraic structure in the graded universe. So if V is a graded algebra, and when I say algebra, I mean possibly more generalized algebraic structure, maybe other operations. But so long as the operations respect the graded structure, then filtered, if V is a filtered algebra, then GER of V will be a graded algebra. And when I say graded algebra, I mean of the same nature, namely, you know, if this had 17 products, then that would have correspondingly 17 products. Okay? And then a homomorphic expansion, is Z going from V to GER V, which is like before, except also, but also respecting the algebraic structure. So basically, it should map a product in V to a product in GER V. Okay? Okay. Z's are harder to get. And you can show a sort of a minor theorem, and I'm not going to go there because it's totally irrelevant. But you can show that the Taylor expansion has an algebraic characterization in this language. So C infinity functions have a product. I didn't use it here. Or I used it to define a filtration, but not in the definition of an expansion. So they have a product, but also a coproduct. So if you have a function, well, there is also a coproduct. And if you're looking for, in the example, so in the example, the unique expansion respecting both M, the product, and delta is the Taylor expansion. So I'm really just in some sense studying generalizations of the Taylor expansion. Okay, I wanted to give you another example. Again, just to get sort of familiar with the notions. So somehow, so one way to view filtered vector spaces, so if you have V containing V1, containing V2, and so on, one way to view filtered vector spaces is to think of them in the opposite way. So you think of V modulo V, and then V modulo V1, and then V modulo V2, and then V modulo V3, and so on. And since the sequence of V is decreasing, it's as if you are, well, you're modding out by less and less and less, so it's as if you are kind of, when you go from here to here, you reveal more information. Sort of you, or, you know, you ignore less and less information. Now, there are maps going this way, always, obviously. And sort of, you know, you can sort of start from studying something here and then study it in more detail and then in more detail and then in more detail. And an example that I like is how images used to be transferred on the internet. So back in the old days, people were connecting to the internet via modems, and modems were very slow. And then when you'd transfer an image, you would first see sort of a fuzzy thing, and then slowly you would get more and more information about it. Okay? So I made an example just to remind you what it looks like. So here is a little program that I wrote, and the only thing that it does is it loads a certain image, and then it creates a slideshow with that image projected into spaces where you see less and less information. Well, sorry, where you see more and more information. Okay? So that's what the picture looks like. So, here is what it looks like. So, let me just explain what this picture shows. That's not a mistake, this is what the picture shows. So I'm thinking of pictures, so for the purpose of this example, I'm thinking of pictures as linear combinations. So pictures are linear combinations of light emitting points in R2, or to be precise, in the unit square, okay? And then the filtration is defined by, so So in V0, I would declare that any two light-emitting points, so right, a picture is really made of many, many, many light-emitting points, right? So in V0, I would declare that all points are equivalent. In V1, I will declare that points that are in the same quarter are equivalent. So this is equivalent to this. This is equivalent to that, but these two points are not equivalent. So if I will take the same image that I started from,
In this case, it's called, I removed it, it was up there, CP8. So if I will take the picture CP8.png and I will project it to here, I will get four pieces of information, right? And so let's move to the next picture in the slideshow, and this is what you see, okay? So instead of everything was gray, I see that sort of the amount of color emanating from this square is different than the amount of color emanating from this one square. I mean, more emanates from here than from here. Okay? And then V2 will be basically further subdivide into 4x4, right? And then the image you will see will be, that. And then V3 is that. V4 is that. Are you recognizing it? You are.
It's a picture, yeah.
Yeah. And then this is V5, V6, V7, and V8. And I think that's where the slideshow ends. Yes. Okay. So sorry, that was just for fun. Now, suppose I wanted to efficiently transmit this figure over the internet. Okay? So, suppose I wanted to transmit, first I wanted to transmit this quickly, and then I wanted to transmit the next image, but I don't want to waste energy on transmitting the information I already transmitted, right? So I need to transmit only the new information which is in this picture and not whatever came from the previous picture. So what do I need? So, okay. So basically what I want to transmit in the end step, so transmit in the end step is, okay, so overall I want to know this image. So I want to transmit this. So I want to have transmitted this, but that was already transmitted. So it's enough if I send you the kernel of this map. The information in the kernel of this map, right? Because, okay? So, what I need to transmit is the information in the kernel of the map V mod V N into V mod V N minus 1. Right? Because the information in the image was already transmitted. Now, what's the kernel? So, the kernel is isomorphic to, anything in V mod N minus 1, in V N minus 1, would be mapped to 0 here. So the kernel is just Vn minus 1 modulo Vn. So in the nth step, I want to transmit, something in Vn minus 1 mod Vn. Meaning that first I want to transmit something in... I hope I'm not confused about... I think here I just don't need to transmit anything. This is just the zero vector space. Sorry. So on the first stage, I need to transmit something which goes to V1 modulo V... No. Sorry. V0 modulo V1. In the second day, I need to transmit something in V V1 modulo V2. And then I need to transmit something in V2 modulo V3, and I somehow have a shift of 1 relative to... I think I started counting the days incorrectly. But anyway... So overall... Oh, sorry. But furthermore, remember that my picture was in V. So really I had a map. I have a map from V into each of these quotients. So what I want is to map V, so on day N, I want a map from V into Vn modulo Vn plus 1. So on day N, I need a map from V into Vn modulo Vn plus 1. And this map should be such that I could reassemble whatever I had from V in V from it. And if you think about, or more precisely, on day N, I need to be able to reassemble the image of whatever I had here in V modulo Vn plus 1. So if you think about it, this exactly becomes the condition of an expansion. Sorry, I wasted too much time on this. But the moral is, you know, when you're watching an image on the internet slowly appearing, what is being transmitted is an expansion of that image. Okay? And so it's easy to choose expansions, but you may want better expansions. So, for example, you know, you may be rotating, and you may want to know that. Okay, so if you rotate an image by 90 degrees, this induces a rotation map on Vn modulo Vn plus 1, and then you may want your transmission to be compatible with these rotation operations, and that would be a homomorphic expansion. Okay? Sorry, maybe I wasted your time. So, if so, forgive me. So let me take another picture and then move on to knot theory. Okay, so, maybe I should say one more thing. So, expansions always exist. So basically by dimension count, it's not really dimension count. If everything was finite dimensional, it would be dimension count. If it's not finite dimensional, you can sort of convince yourself by just sort of, well, maybe I could just write down how, but maybe I don't want to. But somehow you can always somehow. Okay, you can show that expansions always exist, but homomorphic expansions may or may not exist. So in the category of vector spaces, expansions always exist, but not necessarily in other categories. So again, I could go through it, but I think I'd rather go somewhere else. Oh, and maybe I do want to say one more thing before going back to knot theory. So this situation, this notion of expansion is much more general than just knots. So basically, you could. So the example that I gave before with the Taylor expansion can be done in any ring, and in fact, and there is a similar thing for any group. So given a group G, you can automatically make a ring out of it, and the ring is the ring of, say, rational linear combinations of the group ring of the group G. Do you know what the group ring of the group G is? Okay. It automatically contains an ideal, and the ideal is, so you know, a general element of the group ring is something of the form sum AIGI, where AI are rational numbers and the GIs are elements of the group. So you can look at the so-called augmentation ideal, which is those linear combinations where the sum of coefficients is equal to zero. And then now I have a ring and an ideal. So I can look at the filtration, I1 containing I squared containing so on, the associated graded, and then GER of that ring, I will sometimes call it the A space of G, is basically I to the, well, it's the direct sum of all I to the N modulo I to the N plus 1, and you might be looking for functions Z going from QG, basically expansions. You might be looking for an expansion going from QG into GER of, well, GER of QG, so into A of G. But you see, a function from QG, a linear function, everything is happening in the linear, in, at least in the category of vector spaces, so a linear function on QG is the same as a function on G. Okay? So this is the same as a function, any function, or not any function, a function on G satisfying some conditions. So a function Z going from G into A of G, such that the natural extension of Z to QG satisfies a certain property. So such that if gamma is an element of I to the N, then Z of gamma is equal to a bunch of zeros, and then the equivalence class of gamma modulo I to the N plus 1 in position N, and then a bunch of I don't care what. And then you can ask yourself, okay, given a group, okay, sorry, so given a group G, so a group G has a binary operation on it, and you can check that it respects the filtration, and therefore AG is an algebra. So if G is a group, then it induces a product on AG, and you can check that it's associative, and you can find that AG is an algebra. And then you can ask yourself, is there a homomorphic, or in this case, multiplicative Z? And then the answer is, it depends. So you can go down a long list of groups, and for different groups, either it has an expansion or it doesn't. And so for three abelian groups, the answer is yes. For free groups, so if you start from a free group, its associated graded turns out to be the free algebra on the same number of generators, and then an expansion is something that people study in combinatorial group theory since ever, and the simplest example is the so-called Magnus expansion, which has some applications in combinatorial group theory. If you're looking at finite groups, then GER of a finite group turns out to be trivial, and then there is automatically, and then zero is an expansion, but it's not terribly interesting. If you're looking at braid groups, then there is an expansion, but it's very difficult to write down. If you look at braid groups, well, you know, I could go down a long list of groups and sorry, the answer is it depends, and often it is interesting. And often it is, well, hard and interesting. And maybe I'll stop here, and we should take a break until 12:13. Okay?